We are so fortunate to have Mama Arlene back with us today from Rwanda. Some of us know her well, some of us don't know her real well. But she is going to speak to us, and then at 10 o'clock we are going to scoot out because she has to be at another church. But and I'll be taking her to the church. But if you are moved to support Mama's ministry as we support her, the first of the month offering that we always have, the first of the month on our communion Sunday, that offering will be going towards Urukundu. So Mama, if you would come and share with us. She's over there with her buddy Megan.
She is my buddy.
And there's your microphone.
Stay here a minute, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
The children in Rwanda have sent you a gift, and I am going to present it to you.
And you kept it a secret.
Of course.
Oh, that's so pretty. Well, thank you. Oh, my goodness. We'll have to take a picture to send back to the children.
Yeah. They will expect that.
Oh, thank you, Mom. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I'm so very happy to be here. And I'm also very happy to know that I don't have to keep going like this. I can actually see what I'm talking about in front of me. Because every place else I've gone, I've had to do the neck thing. What better way to open the story of Rwanda and what's going on there than to present to you the volcano that I can see out of my library window. And if you walk to the top of the mountain, God in all his majesty is in that volcano because it reaches high into the heavens. Very seldom can you see the top because usually the clouds cover it. God put a window in there where I could get a picture. And so what you're seeing is not usual. It was something very unusual so that I could bring that picture with me. We have a home for boys at our home, and this is the place where we have our devotions in the evening. This is also where the kids gather to watch television. Now, we don't have television, but we have DVDs and all of those good things, and I have learned more about Jesus from VeggieTales than I ever did in my life. The home then for the girls is next door, and we're just very happy to be able to have a little girls, and that is the dining room. So in the boys' house, everybody has relaxation. In the girls' house, we all eat together because we're a family and we do it all together. And at the end of the girls' house is the nursery where we have our babies who come to us abandoned, found in a ditch, found along the road, found in a bush. Sometimes just the last baby we got, Jason, his mama went to the birthing center across the road from us and gave birth to Jason. And then when the nurses turned their back, she walked out. So we got Jason when he was 4 hours old. So we get babies all ages. Sometimes they're a day old, sometimes a week old. But Jason has been our youngest. He's just 4 hours old. But he is a beautiful little boy. And the nursery at the end, we only have two babies in our nursery now. But we have also turned it into a daycare for parents who need a safe place for their children to be taken care of while they try to find a job or have work to do. So this is also what our nursery is doing. Everything serves more than one purpose in Rwanda. Then we have a guest house, and if you come to visit me, you can stay in my guest house there, or you can stay in my house. I have room for 6 people. If you're one of the first 6, you get to stay in the luxury hotel. This then is the top of my mountain, and I want you to know that someday, God's willing, there's going to be a university on the top of that mountain. That is my vision of where Urukundu needs to go. We are working with the primary now, then we will start the secondary, and someday the university will be on the top. And it will be a university for, not for academia. It will be for plumbers, for electricians, for cement people, people who will have a profession that they can do for real and are needed in our country. So this is what I want. I want that kind of a university, but they will still have a degree that says they went to a university. This is the house that I live in. I actually bought this house myself from my pension money back before I lived in with the children and didn't have a place that was really mine. But before I left America, I put a little bit of money in a trust. You know, I'm saying, okay, God, I'm going out in faith and trust, but just in case you don't come through, I'm going to keep a little bit of money back here. It doesn't work that way. So when this house became available, it was connected to my property and on the main road. And so I had put this money aside for my old age. Well, at 81, I thought maybe it was the beginning of my old age, and if I was going to enjoy it, I better get to it, because otherwise somebody else was going to use my money. So I then God said, this is where that money needs to go. So now I'm broke. But I have a house, and it has a flush toilet. You think that isn't a privilege and a real great thing? It really is. This is a view from the school, and no matter where you stand on my mountain, the views are absolutely breathtaking. Mm-hmm. Urukundo has beautiful children, and I think Pastor Sonny will vow to that. These are some of our kids, that Sarah and Claude and Soso and Kanila and Ajid, and Johnny's head is back in there somewhere. These are just a few of the children that we have. This then is Claudine, and I think I've probably shared with you about Claudine before, but I want to give you a report on how she's doing. The little baby in my arms is Claudine. That baby was 3 years old. She was blind, and also we discovered later that she had a hole in her heart, so she couldn't grow. And they brought her to us, and we were able to bring her healthy, because she couldn't have survived surgery when she was that small. So 4 years later, the little girl wearing the glasses is that baby. So God has been, if we have a miracle in Rwanda and in Urukundo, this little girl is our miracle, because she is absolutely fantastic. And her greatest pleasure is standing between a light and a wall, and she dances. And she loves to dance with her shadow. So that is who she is. She's a lovely little girl. And this is Jeanette. Jeanette is one of our babies. Jeanette has a bit of a problem with her tongue. She likes to stick it out. So now every time she sticks it out, somebody touches it and she pulls it back. It's strengthening the muscle in her tongue. Did you realize if you don't use that muscle in your tongue, your tongue will stick out? So if you keep pulling it back, that strengthens the muscle. And so now she doesn't stick her tongue out quite so much. This is Benita, and I want to tell you the story a bit of Benita. Benita's mama worked for one of our teachers, and she had a little sister. And Benita's mama died quite suddenly. And in Rwanda, you don't ask why they died or how they died. You just go to the funeral, you bury them, and that's the end of it. So they called, because the two little girls had nobody, and they called and asked if Urukundo would take these two little girls, and we said, yes, bring them. When the funeral was over, and it was the next day, they didn't bring the little girls, and I got a call saying, come, please, Mama, will you come and visit me, please? So I went to find out what was going on, and the older of the two little girls died the same day they buried the Mama. Of course, for me, I'm suspicious American, and I'm saying, okay, something is going on here. It's contagious or what? No, the little girl had tonsillitis, and they did not take her to the health center where an antibiotic was the cure. They took her to a traditional doctor. He cut out the uvula in the back of her throat, and the little girl bled to death. So this Benita was left with no mama, and her sister was also gone. She now has lots of brothers and sisters, but this is why education is so important. We need to be able to teach that there are other cures. The traditional doctor is, in our books, known as the witch doctor. He has no medical training. But he will never be tried for this. He won't even be accused, because he has magic powers in the eyes of the people who follow him. And so they are afraid of him. So they would never. So he will walk around free to do this again and again. If one of our local doctors did that, they would be imprisoned. But because he is the traditional doctor, he's going to walk around to be able to do it again. This breaks my heart. This is Claude. Claude is our farmer. He has a book that says Farmer in the Dale, and he is absolutely the farmer. And there is his garden. You see, he has his own cabbage patch. He has carrots there, lettuce. The only problem is Claude will not give us his vegetables. He keeps them. They are his. Diana was a casualty on the street when she was 1 week old. A woman was walking on the street and heard an infant crying. There's a difference between a newborn crying and a baby crying. So you could tell there was something serious wrong. And Diana's mother was mentally traumatized, and she took a bite, big bite, out of Diana's face. You see the patch, and was chewing. Whether she thought she was going to eat the baby, I have no idea. But we got the police. The police then gave us the baby and took the mama to a hospital. So we hope that she's getting some treatment and some care. And in the meantime, we're taking care of Diana. You need to know about these babies. They all come to me when they're very tiny, and they don't have names. And I get to name them, and I don't have to have a labor pain. We have parties at our place, and a party is a little cup of juice and two cookies. They call them biscuits, but they are cookies. But this particular party, somebody sent balloons, and we had the balloon. The kids love balloons, and they also had sunglasses. Now, I have to save sunglasses until I have enough that I can give everyone, because they never come enough at one time. So, and you can't give some sunglasses and not the rest. So this, then they had a great party, and I'm taking 3 bags of balloons back with me when I go home day after tomorrow. We have a playground that is used for the school and for our children. So everything serves more than one purpose. And the playground has a sliding board. We make it all from scrap metal. So it doesn't come preformed, or you can't just put it together. You cut the pieces and match them up and solder them and do, not me. I don't do all that. But somebody does that knows what they're doing. But thing with this sliding board was the kids were getting metal splinters in their hands, and we realized that those slide things had to be sanded down and then painted so that the splinters wouldn't come off in the kids' hands. Diesker is one of our big boys, and Diesker wants to be a doctor. So every time he comes home, he mans the medical center. We have a little room that is a first aid room, and he takes care of looking in the ears and doing band-aids. And you know, our children, if they get a little scratch, they're broken. And the first time I heard that expression, I almost panicked. Johnny's leg is broken, Mama. Johnny's leg is broken. And Johnny comes in limping. Oh, really, can hardly walk. Take a tissue, clean it off, put a Band-Aid on it. He can walk just fine. Band-Aids are magic. This is Teresa. This is for you, young lady. Teresa graduated from high school last year. Where did my cup of water go? Okay. Please. Thank you. It doesn't taste bad for you having sat on it. Trezor graduated last year, and because of his academic smartness, he was the embassy and his school recommended him to try out for the MasterCard Award scholarship. And so Trezor worked for the whole this past year, filling all the forms out and filling, getting all the things that had to be done. And 2 weeks before I came here, we were notified, Trezor and I, that he has won the scholarship award, and he has a full 4-year scholarship at Arizona State University. So he is, when I get home, I'll have about a week with him, and then he will come to Arizona. And I am just so very proud of him. And Esperance is the little girl there. She graduated this year. She wants to be a nurse. Our kids have goals, and they have dreams, and they have visions, and they want to do something really good. And this is what, and so in Rhonda, there are 2 nursing courses. If you take a 3-year course, you must work in a hospital with a doctor all the time. If you take a 4-year course, you can choose what kind of nursing you want to do. And she wants to be a pediatric nurse, and that will happen for her. This is Alexander, and he's our computer nerd. Everybody has to have one, and he's ours. He loves computers. He will go to school for a computer science. So we're looking, trying for funding in order to send these kids to university. And you know, to go to university in Rwanda for 1 year is $4,500. Where can you go to university here for less than $5,000 for the whole year? And I beg your pardon? That's everything, room and board and transport and tuition. But $5,000 covers everything. And so if you have an urge to help with the education fund, that kind of a donation and any amount helps, because the $5,000, someone can't necessarily shell out $5,000, but $100 or $50 or whatever, and it all adds up and it goes into that fund for the kids that are graduating from high school. Then Devin, and if you can see, my Devin has become a very beautiful young woman, and she is now in university, and she is going to someday be a commercial pilot. And Annette is going into politics. So they all have their aims and their drives. Then Lucy, you need to know, is in Texas. Lucy was given an award by a church in Texas. She wants to be a pastor. That is her drive. And she needs better English. So she has a scholarship from one of the churches at Texas Pan American University, and she will be there for a year, and then she is coming home. And Cecilia is still in high school. John Marie is my executive assistant. I stuck my neck out this year. I did not bring any Mzungus in. Mzungu is a white person that really doesn't belong there. And so every time I've left a Mzungu in charge, when I go back, I have to clean up the mess. So I decide I would use my own people who work for me, and they are doing a great job. Now I'll know for sure in a couple of days, but they have been doing really, really well, and I'm real proud of them. And Grace is his assistant. And this is Juliet, my secretary. She's the secretary to all 3 of us. But Juliet just had a new baby boy. She graduated from university, and Urukundo paid for her way to go to university, and she has come back to work as my secretary. She has a bachelor's in accounting and auditing, so she's a real asset to us. But she had a baby boy, and I get to give the children their Christian name. Now they get 2 African names, 1 Christian name, and so I named him Jerry. Now you have to know that has nothing to do with the fact that I have a son Jerry here in America. So he is named for my son. These are the mamas who work and help with, and they are on our household. So? Is it on now? Well, then I push the bottom. Okay, so these are people we could not live without. Then this is Pastor Antoine. He is in charge of the spiritual health of all of us. And when we have a problem, we go talk to Pastor Antoine. And when he has a problem, he comes and talks to me. And then I give him more problems. This then is Hope House, and this is a place where we worship. We use this for the children to play in the mornings, and then we have English classes for adults in the community every afternoon, because we're trying to help the mamas and dads to become educated with English so they can help their children who are in our schools. We have 385 children in our school, and only 15 are from Urukundo Foundation. All of the rest are from the community, and they are children who would not be going to school if we weren't there. This is Trezar, and the little boy on his shoulder is Jacob. And this is again where I went over the top, because my dad's name was Jacob, and I've always wanted a Jacob of my own. So that is Jacob, and he's got his Bible on top of his brother's head, and they're on their way to worship. Then we have the Gems, Precious Gems Choir. Now, I don't know if you have a Precious Gems Choir here or not, but when you have a choir of 2, 3, and 4-year-olds, they are amazing. And I believe that this is where the quote from the Bible, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," comes in real handy. But they do sing and they do pray, and they are wonderful. Our other next group then are our older children, and only about a fourth of them are from Urukundo. The rest are children from the community. And our worship service is growing, because as the children have come, now the parents are starting to come with them. So every Sunday we have to add another bench so that we have seating room for everybody who comes. So we are spreading the word of the Lord and letting people know that that's where it's at. That's what it's all about. So you need to be there. The children have devotions at night, and they sing and they dance, and we have a lesson, and then they're off to bed. And they are great kids for praying. And quite often in the middle of the prayer, one of the kids will go down on their knees, and they want me to get down on my knees with them. Well, everybody who's my age knows it isn't getting down on your knees that's bad. It's getting back up off your knees that is almost impossible. So I don't get down on my knees, but I stand with them and put my head down. This then is our learning center, and we're building the school. As I said, the children have, there are 385 kids in our school. I walk to school with them every morning. I think that's why I stay healthy. You climb a mountain every day, you stay pretty healthy. Teachers in our kindergarten, and they work with the students, and there you see the teachers are dancing with the students. They're working on butterflies. They do science. I keep touching that thing. Keep your fingers off of it. Okay. But they really work with the teachers. And we are sincerely believe that school has to be fun. And if it isn't even fun in preschool, it's never going to be fun, and you'll never enjoy school. So it needs to be someplace you want to go and something you want to be a part of. Our primary teachers, the guy in the brown pants, is our head teacher. This is a center for the arts, and I'm so proud of this because what has happened, we needed primary three, and I had no place to put those children because the money didn't come to build two more classrooms. And so I just kind of got down to the point that I'm saying, God, I can't do this. It's impossible. You know, God puts me on my knees quite often, especially where doing something is concerned, because I get into the, well, I can do this. And then I have to say, well, no, I can't do it. And so we were coming up. It was November. We had to open the school in January. You can't build a place in 2 months. And the money wasn't there anyway. So this house sat on my property. I surrounded it on four sides. There was no way. But we couldn't buy it. Finally, in November, we got word from the person who owned it that he would sell it. He wanted $100,000 for it. I built that house. It was his ground, but because it's his ground, he owned the house. So I had to buy the house back from him that I had already built. But I said, no, I won't pay that. He said, well, he would give it to me then for 75. And I said, being very not too. Sometimes my mouth works before my brain, you know, and I say things that aren't really realistic. And so I said, well, if you brought it down to 50, I might consider it. And he said, I'll take 50. I didn't have $50,000. I didn't even have $50, let alone $50,000. So I'm saying, no, I can't do that. And so November 1st, I got an email from a friend, the daughter of a friend of mine who had died 3 years ago. And she said, how can I send a fair amount of money to Urukundo? My mother left you money in her will. This is something you all might consider. Urukundo, in your will, it's a codicil, it works. But anyway, I had no idea how much that my friend Margie had left. So I very cutely said to them, could you please notify my treasurer what the amount is so she can work it into our yearly budget? And of course, that was my way of finding out how much it was. You know, it isn't nice to say, well, how much did she leave and how soon can you get it here? I needed it yesterday. So what have we needed? 50,000. Marjorie left us $51,200 right on the button, just exactly what the bank needed and just what we needed to buy the house. So don't ever think God isn't in charge. And we were able to buy the house. We got it cleaned out. And then we moved the library, the music department. So it is the Glasgow Center for the Arts. And we are the only school in Rwanda that has music and art as part of our curriculum. And we have a library, which other schools don't have. So we have been so blessed. And I thank Marjorie so much for her gift to us. This is a sign we put up to show that this is the Glasgow Center for the Arts. We have music, and we have, these are African instruments. Nellie is one of our youngsters. The other instrument we don't have, but we want to buy one someday, but it is a traditional African. But all of our children play the drums, some better than others, but they love the drums. And this is the only instrument we have in our worship service. If you have ever been to a keyboard presentation in a church that is not here in the U.S., the keyboard plays one tune, the people are singing something else, and nothing works together. So I will not permit a keyboard in my worship service. The violin we have also, and the piano. And the awesome thing about the keyboard, we do have a keyboard at our school. And we had a gentleman from Germany come, and he said, was a concert pianist. And so we brought our keyboard over. He said he would play it on the keyboard, even though it wasn't the kind of instrument he was used to. And we brought the keyboard over, and when I was getting ready to have him come, my headmaster said to me, Mama, that keyboard doesn't work. And I said, what do you mean it doesn't work? It worked last week. He said, I plugged it into the wall. It doesn't work. Do you know what happens when you plug 220 into a 110? It fried the keyboard. The keyboard is absolutely useless, but it did work at one time. So this is an interesting phase. We have art there also, and we teach the art, regular art, and then cultural art. The children learn how to do things in their own culture, as well as coloring books and drawings and art and all of the things that go with it. The library is a wonderful thing. We have French, English, and Kinyarwanda books in that library. Our children in preschool start out learning all three languages. They start in 3 years old learning English and the French and also the Kinyarwanda. All of my children in our home speak English from the time they first start talking, and you won't be surprised to hear they speak it with a Pennsylvania accent. This then is Lucky, and Lucky is showing you where he lives. He lives in Africa. Then the drama department, where we teach drama, we teach dance, and drama is something altogether new because the African children aren't taught to use their imaginations. You just live inside the moment. And so we're trying to teach them how to project it, how to pretend. Pretending is fun. That's different than lying. Pretending is something. Lying is something else. So they also learn traditional dancing, and the traditional dancing they like because they get to dress up in costumes. The teachers then did a drama for our children, and the story is about who's in Rabbit's house. It's a book from America, and Rabbit is afraid to go in his house because he's afraid whatever is in there will eat him. So all of the other animals come and offer to go with him, but he also knows they will eat him if they get him inside. Turns out it was a caterpillar, but that's okay. The story was wonderful. But the thing is that our children didn't know, and this is our kids, minus 70. There's 70 kids that aren't there because they were in the daytime class. But they were so surprised when the teachers came out and took off their masks. The children just went ballistic because they didn't know that their teachers could do that. But you know what? The children will do it now because the teachers did it first, and they set the example. So we will be able to use drama to teach our children a lot of things that they couldn't have done otherwise. Our kids have homework just like your kids here at home have homework. Then we have a sewing center, and this sewing center is set up for young women and men who have finished primary school. Every child cannot go to secondary school. Secondary school is high school. Primary school is up to grade 6, and most of the children who actually go to primary don't go any further than that. And so they can't get jobs, they can't get training. So we have opened the sewing center for those people who want to learn to sew and want to be able to make a living and haven't finished secondary school. So this is one of the things that we're doing to make life better for those who can't get the education that they need. And we have one electric sewing machine, and it works when there's electricity. There's not always electricity. The sewing center made us our karate outfits for all children. Now, these kids, some of them are ours, some are from the community. But the sewing center made their uniforms, and also our school uniforms, and that's Kavine and Sarah and Diana in their school uniforms. All children in Rwanda have to have uniforms to go to school. This is also one of the reasons a lot of children don't go to primary school, because their parents can't afford to buy uniforms. They say the education in Rwanda is free, but if you don't have money to buy a uniform and to buy notebooks and pens, you aren't allowed to go to school. So this doesn't make it very free. This is my farm. My farm is a great place, and you can see it's on tiers. It goes up and up and up and up, and on the very top are the pigs. And our pigs are wonderful because they're led around on a leash like a dog in Rwanda. So the little white pigs go along with whoever they belong to, and just as cute as can be. I don't know. I don't quite get that, but that's okay. We have cows and chickens and pigs and rabbits and goats and 2 dogs. This is called a kitchen garden, and this is the way we raise things, because the torrential rains, if you have the flat ground planted, the rains just come and take your seeds away. And so if you plant like this, the rains go through, the seeds stay put, and then they can come up. And so we get a very good product from this, and a lot of produce. This is a young lady who was there, and she came because she wanted to work on the farm. I thought, okay, she wants to work on the farm. She must know something about farming. She didn't. Nothing. And so she wanted to milk the cow. She said her biggest problem was getting both spigots to go into the bucket at the same time. We have chickens, and chickens are what we're using for most of our revenue with the cow's milk. But we have 2,000 chickens, 1,500 are broilers. We get them when they're a day old and raise them for 3.5 months, and then we sell them to local restaurants and also use them to feed our children. And we have 500 layers, and we get between 300 and 400 eggs a day that also we can sell to the restaurants and hotels. So we're trying to help ourselves. You can see the eggs are ready to go to market. There's my pigs. See, I'm telling you, they're just as cute as they can be. And this is a mama goat. We're trying to get some milk goats. There are goats that are just raised for meat, but there are some goats that are milk goats. We got a male and a female, and they just gave us twins. So, and they're both girls, so we're real happy about that. So we will then be able to make yogurt and some of the goat cheese and things after we get a few more goats. And there's our mama cow, and her name is Daisy, and Daisy's in a lot of trouble right now. She was going to have a baby when I left, and after I was here 2 weeks, they wrote and said, Daisy had her baby. And I said, oh, that's nice, and it's a girl. Oh, that's great. Black and white cows are the milk givers. They are the best. They give the most milk. They give the richest milk. And Daisy had a brown baby. Daisy's going to have to explain to me how that happened, I tell you. Then we also have opened a dental clinic. There is no dentistry in our area, and most of the people have never been to a dentist, nor could they ever afford to go to a dentist. So we have opened this dentistry. We are connected to the School of Dentistry for the Rwanda University, which they said couldn't be done. I love it when people tell me something can't be done, because I know with God all things are possible, and they happen. And so we are connected with them. They send students and a professor out every week, and then we also have weekends when we have from the local hospital. So we're reaching a lot of people who really need, and this is what the porch looks like on the mornings that the dentistry is open. It just, their people are coming because they really want to have their teeth fixed. And he looks scared to death. This is our dental chair, and I'm told it's better than most dentists have here in America, but it really is quite wonderful. Rotary and Rotary International have helped us to get the dental chair. We needed a second one, and we received this past week the money to buy the second one from Rotary, so we're real happy about that. So now we have three dentists. We had one chair. Now we will have two chairs and three dentists, so that is going to help us do a lot more for a lot more people. This then is our construction. We're building P4 for next year so that we will have classrooms for the P4. We're not going to be in the position we were last year when there was no classrooms to move the kids. So this is going quite well. And you can see that, this was when I left, and I'm told now they are putting the roof on the house. So now there's a lot of work to be done inside yet, but at least the shell is up and the window places are there. And now we have to make our own window frames with metal. We have to make our own doors. These things don't come from the local hardware store. You have to really do it yourself. So as long as we have the financing coming in, we do everything we can. So this will open. Then this is my project for now, and I'm just really hoping that somebody will come on board and help. In Rwanda, this is Soso. I want to tell you this. Soso was my first preschool dropout. Anybody ever had a preschool dropout? This is a kid who doesn't want to go to school, and not even to preschool. But Soso decided he wasn't going to school. Well, I outfoxed him, so he's going to school. But it took a lot of doing. These kids are very smart, and they figure out how they can do it. But Soso came to us 4 years ago, and for 4 years I have dreamed of having this place for mamas. What happens in Rwanda when you go to have a baby, if you don't have money to pay for a bed, you can't stay at the hospital. So after 3.5 to 4 hours, you're out of the hospital. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. And you quite often either have to walk to your village, or you are put on a moto and sent across country, which is not roads. They're fields and bumpy places. And Soso's mama had Soso with no money. She was put on the back of a moto and went across country. She started to hemorrhage on her way. When she reached her village, she was still holding on to the baby and the back of the driver, but she had bled to death. Soso became an orphan because of that. What we are doing then is we're opening a house, a And it's this house here. The first aid room is on one end. The other part will be for the mamas. We're having 5 beds in there. And we have then a place where the mamas from the birth center can come up and spend 2 or 3 days at Urukundo resting, giving the uterus time to heal, also giving us the ability to stop. The statistics show, and it's a very high mortality rate, that mamas and newborn babies die in the first 2 days after the birth because of these things that happen. So what we're hoping is that others will pick up with the same idea, and then we will have a place where these mamas can come, spend a couple of days there resting. We will have a tub for sitz baths. And you women all know what that's all about. But it's important because Rwandan women don't have bathtubs. They don't even have running water. So there's no way to treat them. So this is what it's all about. And we have, this is their beds. We have 4 beds like this and a big double bed in one of the other rooms. So we'll be able to take care of 5 of these mamas at a time, and we'll be able to make sure that they are healthy. We've painted it. We've got nice beds and mattresses and bedding. And we also have layettes that people are sending us, like onesies and the kind of clothes for little tiny babies. And so then we feel that every baby is a gift of God, and every baby is precious. And so these are our children saying thank you so much for everything that you are doing to help us and to help me help them. You are making a difference. And I thank God, and I thank all of you for what you have done, for you've been a part of my ministry for a long time.
We thank Mama so much for coming and sharing with us. And if you are moved to support the ministry, you can do that through the first of the month offering. And a lot of us support Mama on a monthly basis, you know, because it's easier to do it monthly. And so we have a share in the ministry there. Also, if you want to go to Urukundo, Mama's always welcoming. Yeah. And she's always trying to, you know,
get
volunteers to come and to do things. They do things different. It's amazing how they figure stuff out. Now, I'm leaving with Mama to go to another church. Alan is going to finish the service, but it's so good to see everybody. And please read your bulletin, because I didn't read it to you. So God bless you, and Mama, let's just have a prayer over your ministry, okay? Well, Father God, we thank you so much for Mama and the vision that you gave her those years ago. When most people in this country are looking at retirement, Father, you put a fire under her to go to a foreign place that is a very uncomfortable place to be, where she can make a difference. And Lord, we thank you for the difference that she's made in Rwanda. So we pray for that country, that your hand would be on it, the only African country where Christianity is in the Constitution, Father God. So we thank you for that beacon of light that they are in a dark continent. And we pray right now for Mama in the ministry, that your hand would be on it, and that, Father God, you would protect her, guard and guide her, and give her many more years, Father, of health to continue to finish this work that you have laid on her heart. And we pray right now for the finances, Father, that you would open up the floodgates so all of these wonderful visions that you have given her, Father, can come to fruition before that day when you say to her, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Mother wanted me to make sure that I get her spray off of the lectern before we leave. Yes.
Who would you make it out to?
If someone wants to write a check, Mama, who would they make it out to? The foundation in this country is Hope Made Real. It's in Williamsport. Mama will have cards out on the table. She brought a couple of Rwandan goods with her, just a few. But that's out. Thanks for asking that question, Jane. And so then you will know how to do that. So, okay.